B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Shkolim Daf Yud. We're going to start from the next Perek, Perek Dalud, at the bottom of Daf Tes Amud Beis. Says the Mishnah, until now we've learned that they would bring Shkolim, Machtes HaShekels, every year to this chamber called the Lishka of the Shkolim, and then they would do a Trumas HaLishka. They would, three times a year, they would withdraw money from this chamber into three boxes, and that would be the Trumas HaLishka. Says the Mishnah, HaTruma, this Trumas HaLishka, what would they do with it? Ma hayu oisin bo? What were they supposed to use the money of these three boxes that were removed three times a year from this chamber? What do you do with that money? Later on in the Perek, we'll learn what they would do with the remaining coins in the chamber and what they would do with the remaining coins in these boxes when they would finish and withdraw more money into the boxes. But now we're asking the most basic and straightforward question, what was the Trumas HaLishka used for? Says the Mishnah, Loik Chimbo, we would use it for all the Korbanos Tzibur. The classic ones are Tmidim, the twice daily Korban Tomid, Umusafin, the Korban Tomid, the Korban Musaf that was brought on Shabbos, on Rosh Chodesh, on Yom Tov, Veniskem, they would be brought with Nesachim, with wine, and with flour, with oil, and whatever was accompanied the korbanis. Ha'omer, the mincha that was brought on the 16th of Nisan, on the second day of Pesach, the korban omer. Ushtei alechem, there was a mincha that was brought on Shavuos, the two breads. V'lechem aponim, every week they would bring the 12 breads, the lechem aponim. V'chol korbanis ha'tzibur, and any and all other korbanis tzibur. Continues the Mishnah. Shomrei sfichin b'shvius. Now, on Shavuos, one's not allowed to, you know, all the vegetation, all fruits, vegetables, all the grains, they're all hefka. But they needed to cut some of the produce of Shemitah for the Omer, for the Shtei Alechem, and the Svichin are what would grow without planting. You're not allowed to plant in Shemitah. But some of the offshoots of what was still growing in the sixth year would produce some plantation in the Shemitah year. And in order that people shouldn't take it, and then there would be no produce left to be used for the Omer, then they would have these guards, these Shomrei Svichin b'Shvius, and they would guard them in order that the Beis HaMikdosh can use them for these menachis that needed to be used and to be used with the Tvua of that year. So these people who were guarding the Svichin of Shavuos, they would have to get paid wages. So Noitlin Schoron Mitrumas HaLishka, they would also be paid their wages from this Trumas HaLishka. Rabbi Yossi says, Af Horeitza Misnadev Shemer Chinom. Rabbi Yossi says that even if a private individual person chose to volunteer to guard these Svichin and not to be given a wage for it, we allow him to do that. Omruloi. So the Chachamim said to Rabbi Yossi, "Af ato imer she'ein boin elu mishel tzibur." Do you not agree that the korban omer has to be brought from produce that belongs to the tzibur? It's a korban tzibur, and if a private person is going to guard it, then even though the shmita in and of its own, the produce is hefker, is ownerless, this person who's guarding it will that way be koine it, and then he's going to be donating, so to speak, this tvor that he's guarded, donating it to the Beis HaMikdosh. Do we allow a yochid, a private person, to donate something for a korban tzibur? They said to Rabbi Yossi, we don't allow that. Rabbi Yossi obviously held that if this private person, it's true that he will acquire this produce, but if he's then with a full heart going to give the produce to the Beis HaMikdosh, it's not called a Korban Yochid, it's called a Korban Tzibur, and that suffices. It means the Chachomim held that Ein Korban Yochid Mishtane Leshel Tzibur, and Rabbi Yossi held that it was okay, and Korban Yochid Mishtane Leshel Tzibur. We'll see more about this in the Gemara. Says the Gemara at the top of Daf Yud Amud Aleph. Taman Taninon, we learnt in a Mishnah. And as I've mentioned a few times, we're going to read the Gemara according to the Girsa of the Vilna Gaon and according to the explanation of his Talmud, the Taklin Chaditin. Taman Taninon, we learnt in a Mishnah. Zman Atzei Koyanim, and this is a sugya in Maseches Tainis, that there were times, nine times a year, where people would come private people koyanim together with other people in the nation, that they would have their time where they would dedicate, they would donate woods for the Mizbeach. So the Zman Atze koyanim va'om lihimonos, there were these 9 times where these private people, that would be their day to donate the woods for the Mizbeach. Elo b'shar she'olu Yisrael min ha'goylo. That the, when Klal Yisrael, after the 70 years in Golas Bavel, Klal Yisrael came up from the exile, and they realized that in the chamber of the woods there was not enough woods for the Mizbeach. And these 9 families, these 9 groups, they stood up, and from their own private woods they would donate to the Beis HaMikdash, and they would give it over to the Tzibur, even though the korban tzibur may only be burnt on woods that belong to the tzibur. Here we see clearly that there were private people who would donate woods, and they would be mosrum le tzibur. They would give it over with whole heart to the tzibur, to the public. V'korvu mehem korban tzibur, and they would use these woods to burn the korban tzibur, or the communal korbanis on these woods. V'histnu imoem neviim shebeneim, and the neviim of that generation, Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, Ezra, Nehemiah, shafilu lishka meleo eitzim. Even in the event that in later years there would be a chamber full of woods belonging to the tzibur, v'omdu elu, and these 9 groups come on the designated dates, v'nisnat v'eitzim ishel atzmon, and they come and donate woods on their own accord, shlo yehi korban miskariv elo mishalem tchila, then they would first bring the korbanis on those woods that were dedicated. Only after those woods were finished would they use the woods in the chamber. So what do we see from here? Well, we'll soon see what we see from here, but in this Mishnah it's clear that there were the Yechidim, the private people, would donate woods for the Mizbeach to be used as a korban tzibur. The question is this Mishnah taking aside with the machlekas we learnt in our Mishnah? In our Mishnah we said that Rabbi Yossi said that a private person can volunteer to guard the tevuah, which would then have to be used as a korban tzibur, the korban oimer, and he would not get paid wages by the tzibur. And the Chachomim say no. The Chachomim say that even before you acquire the tevuah, we're going to pay you, Hekdesh are going to pay you, and they would use the Trumas HaLishka for this. They would pay these workers in order that the workers, they will not acquire it themselves, they would be just simply employed by Hekdesh to guard them, and it will be Hekdesh that is acquiring the tevuah. And according to the Chachomim, it has to be Hekdesh, that tevuah belonging to Hekdesh, not tevuah belonging to a private person who would then donate it to Hekdesh. Well, how does the opinion of Rabbi Yossi conform with this Mishnah in Tainis? And that's actually going to be Machlekas. Omer Rav Acha maintained Rabbi Yossi, that this Mishnah in Tainis indeed is only according to the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. According to the Chachomim, however, these private people, we would not use the woods of private people for the public korbonis. Rabbi Yossi Omer, because it was Rabbi Yossi who said, "Afaroitza misnadiv shemer chinam." As we saw in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi says we have no issue, and we trust that if a single person gives over his donation to the Beis Hamikdash, he's giving it over with a full heart, and it becomes belonging to the community, to the tzibur. However, Rabbi Yossi b'shem Rabbi Ila, this is an Amira, he argued with Rabbi Acha. And he said that divrei akilchi, it could be that even the Chachomim in our Mishnah, who say that the tevuah, the grains of the oimer, must not come from a yachid, will agree that the woods of the korb of the mizbeach can come from a yachid. Why? He says divrei akilchi. Ma peleginon, when is there machlokes in our Mishnah? Only begufo ishel korban, in the essence of the korban itself, namely the grains that are going to constitute the korban oimer. However, aval b'machshiri korban, but those things that are just needed in order to improve or new, in order to allow the korban to be brought, but isn't the essence of the korban, kol alma moida, everybody agrees, even the Chachomim in our Mishnah will agree, shehu mishtane korban yochid le korban tzibur, that a private person can give the woods and turn it into a tzibur, into the belonging of the tzibur, for a korban tzibur. On a similar note, says the Gemara, Tani, we learnt in another Mishnah, isha she'osaso ksoines lebeno. If you have this mother whose son was a Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash, and the Kohen had to wear big day kohuna. The Kohen Gadol had 8 garments, the regular Kohen had 4 garments, and these garments had to be brought from the Tzibur. And here you've got this mother who wanted to sew for her son, the big day kohuna. Then kashera, she's allowed to do that. She sews it for him, she gives it over to the tzibur, and her son will wear it. So it says in the Mishnah, it's kasher, ubilvad, on condition shetimtseren al tzibur, that she wholeheartedly gives it over to the tzibur. So Omer Bacha, again Rabbi Acha says, Rabbi Yosi hi, that Mishnah conforms only with Rabbi Yosi in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yosi Omer, afa roitza misnadiv shemer chinam, that a private person can volunteer to guard those tzfichin, the tvua, which was going to become the korban Omer, and then give it to the tzibur. And therefore he says the same applies with the big day kohuna. Rabbi Yosi b'shem Rabbi Ila. However, Rabbi Yosi the Amora argues and says, "Divrei hakol hi." Again, he says the same as we said before. It could be that even according to the Chachomim in our Mishnah that do not allow private people to guard the Svichin will agree regarding Big Day Kohuna that it's okay. Ma peleginon, when are they arguing in our Mishnah? Begufei shel korban, only with the essence of the korban itself, the produce that was going to make the korban oimer. Aval b'machshirei korban, but something that is just needed and aiding the korban, for example, the big day kohuna, kul alma moida, that all opinions, even the chachomim in our Mishnah will agree, shehu mishtane korban yochid lekorban tzibur, that we trust and we allow a single individual to give over the big day kohuna to the tzibur, and it becomes to the tzibur. Continues the next Gemara. Masnisin pliga al Rabacha. It seems that we're going to have from the following Mishnah, there's going to be a proof against Rabacha. What did Rabacha just say? Rabacha said that just in the same way as in our Mishnah, it's Rabbi Yosi who says that afaroitza misnadiv shemer chinom, so too only according to Rabbi Yosi can a private person bring woods for the Mizbeach, and only according to Rabbi Yosi can the mother, can a private person donate the Big Day Kohuna for the Kohanim. That's what Rav Acha maintained, and we're going to now see from the following Mishnah, it would seem a contradiction to Rav Acha. Because what does it say? The Oysan Ayomim, those days that coming back to the nine families or nine groups of people that would bring the woods to the Mizbeach, that according to the Tanakh, according to the Chachomim, Noyagin B'Shas Korban, it would be a Yom Tov for them on the day that they would bring this Korban, namely they would bring a Korban together with the woods they were bringing, which means in the time that the Beis HaMikdash existed, and on those dates, they would bring wood and bring a Korban, it would be a Yom Tov for them. V'Shalei B'Shas Korban, and even when there was no Beis HaMikdash, and they wouldn't bring a Korban, it would remain and still be a Yom Tov for them, according to the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yosi Omer, Rabbi Yosi argues and says, Einon noyagin elo b'shas korban bilvad. Rabbi Yosi says, no, only when there was a Beis HaMikdosh and they would actually bring the woods and bring a korban, that's when it would be a Yom Tov for them. However, in the time after the Beis HaMikdosh, when they would not bring the woods, there's no Beis HaMikdosh, they don't donate any woods, there's no korban, so there's no Yom Tov. Omer Rabbi Lozabir Tzadik said, and they were following the opinion of the Chachomim, not Rabbi Yosi. They said, "Onu ayinu nibnei Sono ben Binyamin." We belong to that family of Sono ben Binyamin, and our day, that was the date that was designated to us, the day we brought the woods, was on the 10th of Av, the day after Tisha B'Av. And let's remember, Tisha B'Av was only ever practiced after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, not when the Beis HaMikdash was standing. V'chal Tisha B'Av li'etz b'Shabbos. One year Tisha B'Av was on Shabbos. You don't fast on Shabbos, they would push off the fast to the next day, to Sunday. But Sunday was the 10th of Av, which is their Yom Tov. V'dochinu Yisrael li'motzeh Shabbos. We pushed off Tisha B'Av to Motzeh Shabbos. V'yinu mis'anim, we would fast. V'lei mashlimen, we would make sure not to fast until the end of the day, because it was our Yom Tov. So what do we see from here? We see clearly that even according to the Chachomim, those dates remained a Yom Tov for the people, for these Yechidim that were bringing the woods. And this seems to be contrary to what Rav Acha said before. Rav Acha said before that whole Mishnah in Tainis that speaks about the Yom Tov of the Yechidim only follows Rabbi Yosi. But according to the Chachomim don't allow private people to bring woods for the Mizbeach. So according to Rabbi Acha's understanding of the Chachomim, then why would these private people, why was Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik saying that we come from the family of Sono ben Binyamin and we had a Yom Tov? Why do you have a Yom Tov according to Rabbi Acha? According to Rabbi Yosi, the Amora who said that everybody, even the Chachomim of our Mishnah, agree that the issue is only with the Atzmei Shel Korban, only the produce of the Korban Omer itself. But with the woods, as with the Big Day Kohuna, we don't have a problem, then it's okay. That's why the Yechidim had a Yom Tov. But according to Rabbi Acha, who says that it's only Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah who holds that way, not the Chachomim, then why did these people have a Yom Tov even after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed? They kept this date as if they all, right through the generations, they always continued giving on that date. They continued bringing the woods to the Beis HaMikdash. According to the Chachomim, Rabbi Acha says, they were not allowed to do that. They didn't do that. And this is a question which the Yerushalmi asks against Rabbi Acha. Continues the Gemara. Tamon Toninon. We learnt in a Mishnah, and this is a Mishnah in Menachos. Kol korbonos hayochid v'atzibur, any korbonos, private korbonos, or the public korbonos, the communal korbonos, boin min ha'oretz, they can be used either from produce from Eretz Yisrael, umin chutz loretz, or from chutz loretz, min ha'chodosh, from that year's produce, umin ha'yoshon, and from the previous year's produce. Chutz min ha'oimer u shtei alechem, besides with the korban oimer on the 16th of Nisan, and the shtei alechem on Shavuos, she'ein boin elo min ha'chodosh, they have to be brought from the new produce of that year, umin ha'oretz, and they have to be brought from Eretz Yisrael. Reb Chuna b'shem Reb Yirmia, so Reb Chuna b'shem Reb Yirmia maintains, Rebbe Shmuel hi, that that Mishnah that says that the korban oimer and the shtei alechem have to come only from fruits of from produce of Eretz Yisrael and only from the chodosh, it must follow the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel oimer. Rabbi Shmuel is the one that holds that ein ha'oimer bo, the produce used, the grains used for the korban oimer, do not come even min Surya, from Syria, which had partial halachas of chutz loretz because David HaMelech captured Syria. It's a discussion in other places in Shas. It had some halachas of chutz loretz, and nonetheless, Rabbi Shmuel said, even though it partially had halachas of Eretz Yisrael, you could not use it for the korban oimer. Even more so, chutz loretz proper, you could not use for the korban oimer. So when it says in this Mishnah, then Menachos, that the korban oimer and the korban shtei alechem have to come from min ha'oretz, from Eretz Yisrael, it says Rav Huna b'shem Reb Yirmia, it's following this opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. Continues the Gemara. Tamon Taninon. We learnt Mishnah in Kalim. Eser Kedusha Yisein. There were 10 levels of Kedusha. Eretz Yisrael, Mekudeshes Mikol Ha'arotzis. Of all the lands in the world, Eretz Yisrael is the most Kodesh. Umay Kedushasa. What that halachic ramifications of the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael? Shemavien Mimeno Ha'oimer, Vabikurim Ushte Alechem. That the Oimer, the Bikurim, which was of the Shiva Saminim, the seven species, the first of each of those fruits that ripened would be brought as Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash, Ushte Alechem, Masha'ein Mevin, came in Arotzis. That it says in that Mishnah, it's only brought from Eretz Yisrael, not from the other lands, and that's the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. And again, Reb Chiya b'shem Reb Yirmia, says to Rabbi Shmuel, he is following the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel Omar, Ein Ha'omer Bo Min Asuria. Rabbi Shmuel holds that you cannot bring even the wheats. The oimer is not from wheat, it's from barley. The that was the oimer, the shtei alechem is brought from wheat, but they have to be brought from Eretz Yisrael, and even from Surya, which has partial halachas of Eretz Yisrael, you're not allowed to bring it, and kol shekein chutz loretz. Titnan, where did we learn that Rabbi Shmuel himself holds that ein ha'oimer bo min ha'Surya? We've mentioned it twice already, what's the source? Titnan, we learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shmuel oimer, ma chorish, rushus af kotzir, Roshus, that in Shabbos, when the Pasuk says that you're not allowed to do Charisha, you're not allowed to plow, and you're not allowed to do Ketzira, you're not allowed to cut the produce. And the Torah compares the two. In the same way as Chorish, there is never a case where there's a mitzvah to do Charisha, to plow. You never have to plow for a mitzvah. So in the same way as Chorish is always ever only going to be Roshus, something you're allowed to do, not something you have to do. And it says it's also on Shabbos. Afkotzer, so too, regarding the harvesting, the cutting down of the produce, Roshus, it's only also on Shabbos when it's Roshus, when it's not a mitzvah. Yotza, however, this excludes Ktsir Ha'omer, cutting down the produce for the Omer. Shehu mitzvah, that there's a mitzvah to cut the omer. We have to cut the omer. It's a pasuk in the Torah. And that is mutter to do that on Shabbos. That is how the Gemara here is learning. And this is a sugis elsewhere in Shas, which we don't need to go into here. But this is what the Yerushalmi here is saying. And from the fact that Rabbi Shmuel says that you're allowed to do the ktsira on Shabbos, it also, we obviously learn from here, and there's a very big discussion in the Mefarshim how we learn it from here, but we take it for granted that if it's so important to do the ktsira and all the details mentioned in the pasuk in the absolute way, up to the extent that you're even allowed to do the ktsira on Shabbos, then obviously the fact that it says in the Torah it should be brought from Eretz Yisrael is also something that has to be kept, and it cannot be brought even from Surya. Continues the Gemara. Man Tana Shomrei Sfichis B'Shvi'is. Who holds that like we saw in our Mishnah, that Shomrei Sfichin B'Shvi'is Noitlin Schoron Mitrumas Halishka, we pay those who are guarding the barley, the wheat, the barley, the produce of Shemitah that grows on its own on Shemitah, that you guard it in order that nobody should cut it down, in order for it to be used for the Shte'alechem and for the Korban Omer. Who holds that you're allowed to guard Shemitah fruits, Shemitah produce, and obviously if you're allowed to guard it, only because you're allowed to guard it, you're allowed to pay the people, the guards, with the money of the Trumas Halishka. Well, who holds that way? Why can't you just bring the Tvuah from Surya? Who says that you cannot bring it from Surya, and therefore you have to guard the produce of Eretz Yisrael? Man Tana Shomrei Sfichis B'Shvi'is Noitlin Schoron Mitrumas Halishka. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel, he again, it must be Rabbi Shmuel. That's what the Gemara assumes, because as we saw a few minutes ago, that Rabbi Shmuel holds that Ein Mevi Ein Omer Bo Min Asurya, that the Omer has to be brought from Eretz Yisrael. If it has to be brought from Eretz Yisrael, then on Shemitah you have to guard the little bit of Sfichin that grows. And since you have to guard it, you can pay the guards with the Trumas Halishka. Omer Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef argues and says, Divrei HaKilhi, that everybody agrees with this. Why? Because loy motzi b'Surya, in the event that you don't find any produce in Surya, mevino isim isfichin sheberet Yisrael, then everybody agrees that you have to bring it from produce in Eretz Yisrael. And since you don't know if you're going to find tvua in Surya, therefore everybody agrees, even according to the opinion that says you're allowed to bring the oimer from produce of Surya, also agree that you're allowed to guard the produce of the Sfichin of Eretz Yisrael, because you never know in advance whether you're actually going to find Tvua in Surya to be used for the Omer and the Shte'alechem. Continues the Gemara. Hahein Omer, Ma'u She'yizra B'tchila. We've learned that even though regular Shemitah produce is Hefka, over here because of the Korban Omer, you're allowed to guard them. And we also learned that you're allowed to cut it down in Shvi'is. Normally you're not allowed to cut down such a large amount of Tvua in Shemitah. But because of the Korban Omer, you're allowed to. The question is, if there isn't any Tvua around, are you actually allowed to plant some of this Tvua, some of these grains, on Shemitah? In the same way as you're allowed to cut it down, which is normally also on Shemitah, you're allowed to do it. Are you allowed to plant it, something which is normally Osir, are you allowed to do it for the Korban Omer? Says the Gemara, Rav Chiya bar Ada, boye kamei Rav Muna. Rav Chiya asked in front of Rav Muna, what would it help you if you planted it? What would it help? Lo nimtza kekoimetz al ashiraim she'eino necholim. We know that the halacha is that when is any Korban Mincha, in most cases, a korban mincha, a koimetz, a fistful, is removed and put on the mizbeach, the shiraim, the leftovers, are eaten. A case where the shiraim are not allowed to be eaten, the whole mincha is pasul. You don't bring the shiraim at all, you don't bring the koimetz, it's pasul. Over here, even if you would be allowed to plant in order to have the korban oimer, of which a fistful of it is going to go onto the mizbeach, but are you going to be allowed to eat the rest of the korban, the shiraim? You're not going to be allowed to eat the rest, because any fruits which are planted, any produce planted in Shemitah, you're not allowed to eat it at all. It becomes asa. So what does it help? Even if you would be allowed to plant, it wouldn't help you anything. Says the Gemara, no, it would help you. Why would it help you? It's because it's similar to five cases, and it happens to be that Omer is one of those five, that even that it's allowed to be brought, even Betumah. And when a korban omer is brought betumah, the fistful gets put on the mizbeach, even though it's tummy, but the shirayim, which is tummy, are not allowed to eat, and nonetheless it's kosher. In the same way as a tummy, it's kosher, so too, it would be kosher to plant or to use produce that's been planted in Shemitah, to use it for the korban omer, and it would still be kosher. And it seems the Gemara just says that there's a place for the question. Right? We asked a question. Reb Chiya asked, it wouldn't help. We answered it would help. But we haven't been given a clear answer. Are you actually allowed to sow and plant in Shemitah? The Yerushalmi did not give an answer. Other Mefarshim say that the Yerushalmi did give an answer. And the same way as Tumah is one's allowed to bring the Omer from Tumah, even though you cannot eat the Shiraim, then planting in Shemitah is in that bracket and you're allowed to do that as well. But the Taklin Chattin doesn't seem to learn that way. Continues the Gemara. Ketzah tu Oisa. We saw in the Mishnah that these people, the guards that are guarding the Svichei Shemitah in order to be able to have produce for the Korban Omer, you're allowed to pay their wages from the Trumas HaLishka, from the money that was withdrawn from the chamber with all those machtzis hashekelin. Well, how are you actually going to pay them? Are you going to take coins of Kedusha, of the Trumas HaLishka, and give it to them? We have an issue with that, because you cannot just take coins of Kedusha and give it to somebody. What's going to make it chulin? These workers, these people who are guarding it, are going to be using it for whatever they want to use it for. That means it became chulin. Well, Kedusha has to be chal on something. It has to be redeemed on something. The Kedusha has to be transmitted or transferred onto something. Over here, it's not transferred on anything. This person did some work. He guarded the produce. And now, where's the Kedusha of these coins gone to? So the Gemara is asking, Keta du Oisa. So how in practical terms are we going to use these coins as payment for the wages? Says the Gemara, Noitel mois min ashulchani. At first, and this is right at the beginning, obviously even before they have acquired, before the produce has grown a substantial amount, because if they guard it before, on their own accord, without being paid, they guard it, it becomes their own, and we don't want it to become their own. The reason that we're paying them is in order it should belong to Hektish. So right at the beginning, we take coins of the Shulchani, we borrow coins from the money changer, and we give it as payment. These are your wages. Now you're employed by us, Hektish, and you are protecting this Tzvichin for Hektish, and it belongs to Hektish. Now what? V'noisin l'koitzrim, and they give u'lashoimrim, atchelo yikravoimer, and they give the money to the people who are cutting down the tvua, and to the people, all the people who have to be paid for the whole process of the Omer, they get paid. Umevi mois mitchumas halishka, umechalin el olov. And afterwards, after they've already cut down the Omer, and that Omer is not yet hektish, that those grains, those stalks that were cut down that were going to be used for the korban Omer have not yet been made kodesh. So they are chulin. So now what they do is they take coins from the chumas halishka, and they say that the Kedusha of those coins will be redeemed onto these stalks. And now the stalks are Kodesh in their place. And you now have coins that whose Kedusha has been removed and put onto the stalks. And the coins are now Chulin. And then they take these coins and they give the coins back to the money changers. Asks the Gemara, V'tovis Kain? Is this a good way of doing it, what you just did now? There's an issue with it, because their wages are going to be wages of having protected all the kernels, all the stalks that they watched, which is quite a large sum. But in practical terms, they were going to now take the Kedusha of the worth of coins, of the worth of all those stalks, and put that Kedusha onto the stalks. What's actually going to happen to these stalks? How much of these stalks is actually going to become part of the korban? Not that much. Only a tenth of it is going to become the korban. The rest is just going to be waste. It's going to be put through the sieves, and it's going to be winnowed and thrashed, and not that much is going to be left over. So you're taking a large amount of coins from the Trumas HaLishka to the value of all those stalks, and As if, because that's the wages that you're giving these people for having protected those and guarded and done everything that had to be done with those stalks, where only in actual fact a small amount of that is actually going to become the korban. Says the Gemara, yes. The wages of the people, the amount of money that you borrowed and have to return, is not the value of what these stalks are before you've thrashed them and prepared them. No. The final wages is the value of the tvua, of these grains, but not of the whole lot. The amount that is actually going to be used in the korban omer itself, that is the wages of these shomrim, and that's as much money is going to be borrowed on their behalf, that's as much money which is then going to be redeemed, the kedusha is going to be redeemed onto that part of the grain that's going to become the korban omer, and that's what's going to be returned to the people who lent the money, and therefore there's no issue. Continues the Gemara Tana. We learned that af bepischei avonim, those people who on behalf of the Beis HaMikdash were chiseling stones, were cornering, and doing whatever had to be done with the working with the stones, they would also get paid from the Hekdash. Af bepischei avonim kein, keitzad oisa, how would they pay them? Is noitel mois mishulchani, they would borrow money, as we saw before, they would borrow money from the money changers. They would give it to the people who are digging for the stones and doing whatever it took to prepare the stones. And even before they fixed the stones into the walls and into the buildings, even before they actually finished their work, they would first get paid. And only after they would do finished repairing the wall that they were supposed to repair, maybe mois mitrumas alishka, they would bring coins from the trumas alishka, and they would redeem them, umchalin oleo, they would redeem the kedusha onto this new part of the building, and now you'd have coins that have been stripped of their kedusha, and they would be given as wages to these people who are working for the Beis HaMikdash. Asks the Gemara of Tovis Kain, is it appropriate to do that? They're getting paid for all the work they did, but it's inevitable that some of the work they did, some of the stones that they used and that they dug and that they chiseled and everything they did, part of it went to waste. So you had to borrow more money than was actually going to carry the kedusha of those coins. And again, Rabbi Yosi ben Rav Bun b'shem Shmuel, the same answer. Kol ma sheyitein hein hein domeo mishor rishono. Their wages, right from the beginning, the amount that they're being paid, is not the amount of all the little work they did, but is the value of the stones as of the final product, as of the final job. As much as the stones are now worth, as much as the building has now gone up in value, that's what their wages are, and that's as much kedusha that can be redeemed from the coins onto those stones, and that's what would be their wages. That's the amount they would borrow to start with, and the amount that they would afterwards pay back. Continues the next Mishnah, Yud Amud Beis, Halacha Beis. And now we're going to discuss different things that were done with the Trumas Halishka, part of which we already discussed in the previous Mishnah. And besides that, we're also going to discuss in the coming Sugyos what was done with the Shiore Alishka, the money that was left over in the chamber that was never withdrawn, what's going to be done with the Moiser Shiore Alishka, what happens after you've done what you can with the remaining money in those chambers, what do you do with the last coins that are left over, what do you do with the Moiser HaTruma, the money that's left in the boxes that you withdrew. Three times a year you withdraw money from the chamber into the boxes to be used as one uses the Trumas Halishka. What happens if there's money left in those boxes? And besides for that, we're going to discuss with Moisar HaPeirois and Moisar Nesachim, which is going to be discussed exactly what they are in the Gemara. Says the Mishnah, we're going to start with a number of things that are done with the Trumas Halishka. Poro, a Poro Aduma, is a korban that the tzibur needed, and they would buy and do whatever had to be done with the Poro Aduma with the money of the Trumas Halishka. V'soira mishtalech, then we know that on Yom Kippur two goats were used. One was going to be a korban on the Mizbeach, the other one was going to be sent la'azazil. And since you don't know in advance which one is going to be la'ashem, which one is la'azazil, both animals are bought from the Trumas Halishka. V'loshin shel zahiris, which is the piece of material, the piece of wool that was used, and not only the piece of wool, it's also the Eitz Erez and the Ezoiv, which was used for the when burning the Pora Aduma, that was also taken from the Trumas HaLishka. All this boin mitrumas HaLishka, continues the Mishnah. And now we're having it, the Mishnah is going to tell us a list of things that you don't use from the Trumas HaLishka, but the money that's left over in the Lishka, that you didn't use, that was not withdrawn with the Trumas HaLishka, but the remaining coins, what would they do with them? They would do with them tzorchei tzibur, things that the tzibur, the community, needed. What are they? Kevesh Poro. There was a ramp, a special ramp that was made from the base of Migdash until the place where they would burn the Pora Aduma. And this was a ramp that was made in a special type of construction to make sure that even in the event, the unknown event, that there was a corpse buried someplace in the ground, and we know that's called Tumas HaTohoim, that if there's a corpse buried, then the Tumah penetrates, it goes all the way up till the sky, unless there is a tefach, there is a roofed-in area, an airspace of a tefach high, and that blocks the tumah from going. So what they would have to do is they would have to build a ramp that at any given point there was at least a tefach of airspace between the rock, the land underneath it, and the people on top of it. And what they would do is they would, because if any ramp has to be built on supports, and a support is not hollow, it's solid. So if there's something that's going to be buried exactly under that support, the tumah is going to go right up through it and penetrate and make the person tomei who's walking on top of it. So what they would do is they would have a double layered ramp where the supports are held on an area, on a roofing, so to speak, that has supports elsewhere. That means at every given point, it's kippin al gabe kippin. At every given point, there was always some airspace between the rock below and the people on top. So this kevesh, this ramp that was made for the Pora Aduma, or the kevesh soira mishtalech, when the person would go with the goat on Yom Kippur and take it till the Azazel, there was a time where the people from Bovel, the Babylonian, the people that were so anxious to get their atonement that they would tear the hair out of this animal and force the person who's taking it along to the Azazel, quickly run and give us our atonement. To avoid them being able to do that, there would be a special ramp that would go all the way to where this person had to go and do what he had to do with this goat. The Loshen Shebein Karnov, and the wool, the red wool that was put between the horns of this goat, that was also, it was travel with this Loshen, with this tongue, as literally it looked like a tongue, but it was a piece of material, that a piece of wool between its horns, and when he would get to the top of that mountain, the Azazel, he would cut it into two, half remaining between the horns, half he would tie to a rock. He would then throw the goat over the rocks, and he would know if this wool turned its color, changed from red to white, he would know that it was a message from Hashem, a sign from Hashem, that they had been atoned. So this Loshen Shebein Karnov between its horns also was bought is in this bracket, it was bought from the Shiore Alishka, from the coins that were left in the chamber that were not removed. V'amas Hamayim, there was a stream, a canal that was going through the Beis HaMikdash, and when that needed repairing and upkeep, they would use this money for it. V'choy Moisoir, and the walls of Yerushalayim, U'migdoleo, and its towers, V'chol Tzorki Ho'ir, and anything else that was needed to dig the wells, the pits, or to take care of the streets and the public places, boin mishiori halishka, all these things were done with the shiori halishka. Now, one of those details, Abba Shaul is arguing, Abba Shaul Oimir, kevesh pora, the ramp that was made for the pora aduma, when the kohenim would take the pora aduma to where it had to be burnt, that was not done from the shiori halishka, rather kohenim gedolim oisin mishel atzmon, it was actually paid out of pocket from the kohen gadol that was overseeing and doing the Pora Aduma. Continues the Mishnah, and this is actually a new Mishnah, according to Taklin Chadatin, this Mishnah actually comes later on in the Yerushalmi, but it's printed here, let's learn it here. Says the Mishnah, Moisar Shiyore halishka. What happens if there was money left in the chambers and you've done all the above with it? You've taken care of the tzorchei hatzibur and there's still some coins left. What do we do with the remaining coins when you have nothing left yet or any more to do with it for the tzibur? Mao yoisen ben. So Rabbi Shmuel says, loikhin behen, they would buy with it yeinois, wines, shmonim, oils, salsois, and flowers, and they would sell it to the people who would need these commodities for their korban mincha, and they would sell it for a higher price than they bought it for. Vaschar lehegdash, and that way they would, so to speak, be investing that money, trying to make a profit that would benefit hegdash. Divi Rabbi Shmuel, that was the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva argued, Rabbi Kiva Oimer, Ein Mistakrin Bushel Hektish, you don't do business transactions with Hektish, because there's always this fear that you may make a loss. You may end up selling it for less than they were bought for, or the price may drop, and then Hektish will have lost. So you don't do transactions with Hektish, Afloi Mishel Aniyim, and if you have money belonging to poor people, that you collected for poor people, don't try and invest it, hoping it will make money, you might lose it, and therefore just leave it as it is. Continues the Mishnah, and this is yet another Mishnah according to Taklin Chaditin, but says the Mishnah, Moisar HaTruma. What happens if after the 12 months, and there's now money left in the boxes, you withdrew from the chamber into the boxes, and now the year is over and you have to withdraw new coins from the New Year's Shkolim. What do you do with the remaining coins that have already been withdrawn with the intentions of being used for Korban Tzibur? But that's it, the year's over, we've bought all our Korbanos, we've finished buying the Korbanos of the year, what do we do with the remaining coins? Now, Yoisin Ba, what would they do with it? Says the Mishnah, Rekuei Zohov, this is the Tanakama. Tanakama holds, they would create with it sheets of gold, Tzipui, they would use these sheets to cover Lebeis Kodesh HaKadoshim for the floors and the walls of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Rabbi Shmuel Oimer, Rabbi Shmuel says, he argues with the Tanakama, and he says, Moisar HaPeiros, which is a concept we haven't yet seen, we'll see in the Gemara what it means, but the Moisar HaPeiros was used Kayetz HaMizbeach, so to speak, as a dessert for the Mizbeach. The same way as a dessert, when a person's finished the meal, he's now going to eat a little bit of dessert, so too when the Mizbeach is empty and there's no more Korbanos burning on it, they would bring Korban Oilos and put on the Mizbeach just to keep the Mizbeach, so to speak, satisfied. There should always be Korbanos on it. Moisar Truma. And this Moisar Truma that we discussed before, not like the Tanakama who said that the Moisar Truma was used for the Rekuei Zov. No. Rabbi Shmuel says, what was the Moisar Truma used for? Leklei Shoris. They would use it to purchase the utensils, the vessels needed in the Beis HaMikdash, the Klei Shoris. That's what they would use it for. Rabbi Akiva Oimer. Rabbi Akiva is yet a third opinion. He says that Moisar Truma is Lekayetz HaMizbeach, that they would use the Moisar Truma, the leftover coins which was withdrawn from the chamber, they would use it for the Kayetz HaMizbeach. And the reason that behind what Rabbi Akiva says is because the Trumas HaLishka was originally set aside in order to use it for Korbanos Tzibur. And now the year is over. These coins are left over, but at least use it for Korbanos Tzibur. What would they do? They would use it for the Kayetz HaMizbeach. Moisar Nesochim. And this is a new concept we haven't yet seen. But Rabbi Akiva says that Moisar Nesochim, we'll see soon what it means, was Leklei Shoris. That's what they would use to buy the Klei Shoris. And Rabbi Akiva doesn't make any mention of Moisar Peiros. Rabbi Shmuel said Moisar Peiros is Kayetz HaMizbeach. Rabbi Akiva sort of ignores the Moisar HaPeiros, and we'll soon discuss that. The Mishnah is going to mention that. Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohenim Oimer. Chanina Skana Kohenim says that Moisar Nesochim is not like Rabbi Akiva said that Moisar Nesochim is for Klei Shoris. No, Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohenim said it's Kayetz HaMizbeach. They would use the Moisar Nesochim for the Kayetz HaMizbeach. Moisar HaTruma, coming back to Moisar HaTruma, what would he do with it? Leklei Shoris, which is Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohenim saying the same as Rabbi Shmuel said before, that they would use the Moisar HaTruma for Klei Shoris. Zeh v'zeh, but Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohenim, both of them, loyhoyu moidim b'peiros, they both ignored the concept of Moisar HaPeiros. They didn't agree with the concept of Moisar HaPeiros, and we'll see in the Gemara what Moisar HaPeres is and what they didn't agree with. Says the Gemara, Kevesh Poro Chulei. That was the Mishnah, the second statement in the Mishnah was a list of things that they would do with the Shiyore Alishka, with the money, the coins that were left in the chambers. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman B'Shem Rabbi Yonason. Rabbi Yonason held, Gimel L'Shoinos Hein. There were actually three times where there was this strand of wool that was used. And each time it had to be of different weight. There was one which was Shel Soyer, which the Mishnah mentioned, the Loshein Bein Karanov, they would put between its horns of the Soyer, of the Lazozel, and how much did that have to weigh? Besela, it had to weigh a full sela, which is two shkolim, because it had to be of enough volume, enough weight, that it could actually be split into two, that half was left on the horns of the goat, and another half was tied to the stone. Shel Metzera, the Loshoin, the piece of wool, the red piece of wool that was used to sprinkle on the Metzera, B'shekel, it was enough to be just half a sela, because they didn't need to be split into two, and it was enough if it was weighed a sela. Shel Poro, the piece of wool that was used with the Poro Aduma, which is what we mentioned before, the Loshoin Shel Zohiris, which the beginning, which the Mishnah mentioned, that was boy that that wool for the Poro Aduma b'shnei slaim, it had to be double even of the Loshonis of the Loshon of the Soyer, because over there it says that you had to throw it right into the bottom of the fire or into the midst of the fire that was burning the Poro Aduma. And if it didn't have a substantial weight, it would just get burnt at the top and it wouldn't actually fall right into the middle of the fire, and that's why it had to be of two slime. A second opinion, Reb Chunya de Bras Chivrin, Reb Chunya from this place called Bras Chivrin, he said that Reb Bo Bar Zavda B'Shem Reb Shimon ben Chalafta, they said Shel Poro B'Shtei Slaim U'Mechza, that this, the wool that was used and thrown into the fire when burning the Poro Aduma, wasn't enough that it was just two slime. It had to be two and a half slime, even a little bit heavier. Is to Mafkin Lishna, others would say the same weight, but they wouldn't use the term two and a half slime, they would use the term Ba'asara Zuz, and just depending on how they received this halacha from their rebbes, whether they said it in this term or in that term, but it was the same weight, 10 Zuz is two and a half slime. They held it had to be that heavy. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda B'Shem Rabbi Shmuel. And now we're bringing a list of other halachas of what could be done with the Trumas Halishka. Says the Gemara, Talmidei Chachomim hamelamdim es hakoyanim, those Talmidei Chachomim, the teachers that would teach the Koyanim, Hilchas Shechita, how to shecht, Hilchas Kabbalah, how to receive the blood, Hilchas Rika, how to sprinkle or throw the blood, Noitlin Schoron, they would take their wages, Mitrumas Halishka, from the money that was withdrawn from this chamber. Continues the Gemara, Bitzchok Barodifa B'Shem Reb Ami, he said that Mevakrei Mumei Kochim, those that would examine the animals to make sure there were no blemishes, they would also have to be paid. Noitlin Tzchoron, they also would take their wages, Mitrumas Halishka, from the coins that were withdrawn from the chamber. Another halacha, Reb Acha said that Reb Tamchoim Barchia B'Shem Reb Sumloi, that Magihei Sefer HaAzara, those that would correct and check the Sefer Torah in the Azara, also Noitlin Tzchoron Mitrumas Halishka, they would take their wages from the Trumas Halishka. Gidel Bar Binyamin B'Shem Reb Asi, Shnei Dayone Gzeilois. There was two Dayonim that were, it was their job to determine the fines that were given to the thieves. They would also be paid, they would spend all day just judging and doing their job there. Noitlin Tzchoron Mitrumas Halishka, they would also take their wages from the chamber. Shmuel Omar, Noshim, these women, who would weave the curtains between the ulam and between the heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the first Beis HaMikdosh, there was an amah thick wall there. However, in the second Beis HaMikdosh, that was made considerably taller than the first Beis HaMikdosh, it wasn't possible to make such a tall wall, just an amah wide, an amah thick, and you couldn't make it any thicker because that would take away from the dimensions either of the Heichal or of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So what they did instead was they had a double curtain with an amah gap in between. And this curtain, Shmuel says, Noitlin Schoron, that the women that would weave these curtains, they would take their schar, their wages, mitchumas halishka, from this chamber. Reb Chuna Omar, mitchumas bedek habayis. Reb Chuna will hold that they would take their wages not from the what was withdrawn from the chamber, rather they would take it from the bedek habayis, people who would donate money for maintaining and the upkeep of the building. They would say, this is like part of the upkeep of the building, it's in the place of the wall that was there, and therefore they would get paid wages from the bedek habayis. Ma pligi, what's the point of their machlokes? In what point are they arguing? Shmuel Ovad lo kekelim, Shmuel held that these curtains had the same halachas of kelim, and the kelim, they were taken from the trumas halishka. Rav Huna Ovad lo kebinyan, however, Rav Huna assumed that it had the same halachas as the building, and any upkeep or maintenance of the building was taken from the bedek habayis. And Shmuel, who said that they would get paid because these curtains were similar to kelim, is following Rabbi Shmuel in the Mishnah that says that from the Moisara Truma, from the coins remaining of these coins that were withdrawn, they would use it for clay shoris, and they viewed Shmuel viewed these curtains as being part similar to those clay shoris. That's the Vilna Gaon's girsa here. Continues the Gemara, Omer of Chizkiah. Reb Chizkiah said that Tana Reb Yehuda Gad Godois, that was his name, Reb Yehuda Gad Godois, he says that Haktores, V'chol Korbonis HaTzibur, Boin Mitrumas HaLishka, all communal Korbonis, including the Haktores, was paid for from the withdrawal of this chamber. Mizbeach Hazov, however, the making and the upkeep of the Mizbeach, the gold Mizbeach that was inside the Heichal, the whole clay shoris and all the clay shoris, the utensils, boin mimoisar nesochim. They would come from the moisar nesochim, as we saw. Rabbi Akiva said in the Mishnah that moisar nesochim was used for clay shoris. The mizbeach hazav was relatively small; it was not attached to the ground. It had the same status as the clay shoris. Mizbeach ha'ilo, however, the big mizbeach outside in the azara va'heichal va'azorois. Boin mi bedek habayis. They were part of the building, and maintenance of the building was done with the bedek habayis. That's the girus of the Vilna Gaon. Chutz la'azoris, anything that was outside the azara, boin mishiori alishka, was brought with those coins that were left over after they'd withdrawn money from the chamber. All the machzah shekels, the leftover coins, they would use for anything that was outside the azoris. Asks the Gemara, Vatoni Avnei Yerushalayim Moyalin Behem, did we not learn that the concept of Me'ila applies even to the stones of Yerushalayim? And the stones of Yerushalayim came from outside, were beyond the Azara, was outside the Azara. And what you just said now, that anything that was from outside, Chutz La'azoris, came from the Shiori Alishka, V'chiyesh Me'ila B'shirayim, is there any, it might be also to have personal benefit from it, but is there any concept of Me'ila with those coins that are left over in the chamber? Of course there isn't. And if there isn't, how can you say that there's Me'ila from Yerushalayim, from the stones of Yerushalayim? So answers the Gemara, K'Reb Meir. This is following Reb Meir, who Reb Meir Oimer, Me'alin B'shirayim. Reb Meir holds that actually the concept of Me'ila does apply to the remaining coins in the chamber, and therefore it's okay to say that the Yerushalayim, which is Chutz La'azora, is outside the Azara, was maintained and built using the money of the Shiori Alishka, and nonetheless we say that there's a concept of Me'ila by the stones of Yerushalayim. It's not a contradiction, because Reb Meir holds the concept of Me'ila applies even to those remaining coins. Asks the Gemara, Amar B'chia, Klum Amar Reb Meir Ela B'teich Shnosei, V'hocha Chutz L'Shnosei Anan Kayomin. Even Reb Meir only says there's Me'ila till the end of the year, till the end of the 12 months, but as soon as they start collecting the next year's coins, then the remaining coins of the previous year are definitely, there's no Me'ila, and we assume over here that they would, the upkeep of Yerushalayim was only done when the year was over, as we've seen previously in the Gemara already, early on in the Masechta, that all the while that the coins were still there, they would leave it there because they never knew would there be enough coins with what they withdrew in order for the Korbanos Tzibur. So any remaining coins would be left just for the eventuality that you might need it for Korbanos. Only when the year is over, they would use it for whatever, they would use the Moisa Shiore Alishka, or whatever else, or the Shiore Alishka would only be after the year is over. So since after the year is over, even Rab Meir says there's no Me'ila, the question comes back. And therefore it must be that not like Rab Yehuda Gudgod, who said that they would build Yerushalayim, that Chutz Lazoris was born Mishiore Halishka, that cannot be. If we see that the concept of Avnei Yerushalayim, there's a possible Yesh Me'ila, that it's possible to have Me'ila with Avnei Yerushalayim, it cannot be that the Avnei Yerushalayim, Chutz Lazoris, was maintained by the Shiore Halishka. Continues the Gemara. Omer Bchizkia, Tan Rabbi Yehuda Godgonios. Rabbi Yehuda Godgonios said as follows. Hashulchan, v'amenoira, v'amizbeichos, v'aparoiches. These four items, ma'akvinis ha-korbonis. If they're not there, the korbonis apostle. It's ma'akv. Divi Reb Meir, that's the opinion of Reb Meir. V'chachomim oimrim, the chachomim argue, this is machlekes tanoim, the chachomim argue, ein lucha ma'akvinis ha-korbon, the only thing that is ma'akv the korbon is only karkoiv v'keren. Bilvad, the karkoiv is this decorated band that was going round the Mizbeach. The Keren is the horns on the four corners, what we call the Karnei Mizbeach, the four corners protruding at the top of the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach, with its various parts, is Ma'akev. But the Shulchan and the Menorah and the Pareches is not Ma'akev. So that is a Machlekes Tanoim. Reb Meir says that the Shulchan, Menorah, Mizbeiches, and Pareches are Ma'akev. The Chachomim say just the Mizbeach. And now the Gemara is going to ask a question that we're going to see three Amoraim argue, and they're all arguing with the Chachomim, and two of them are arguing with Reb Meir. And we don't have Amoraim arguing with Tanoim. Says the Gemara, V'loi kein Omer Reb Eliezer V'Reb Yosi bar Chanina. What did Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina, Trey and Omrin, that they both said, Kol Hein Dechsiv Noichach, whenever it says in the Pasuk that the position of a Kli has to be Noichach, has to be opposite someplace, Ma'akev. The only place it says Noichach is by the Menorah. So Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina say, the only thing which is Ma'akev is the Menorah. Tzela, however, when the Pasuk says that one of the Kelim have to be Noichach, have to be tzela, sorry, on the side of some place, einei ma'akev, and that's referring to the shulchan. The shulchan, the pasuk says, it has to be on the side, it has to be in the tzela, and it's not ma'akev. Va'omer Reb Shmuel bar Nachman b'shem Reb Yonason, afilu tzela. Reb Yonason says, no, even, not only where it says noichach, referring to the menorah, also where it says tzela, referring to the shulchan, it's also ma'akev. Va'omer Reb Ila b'shem Reb Shmuel bar Nachman. Reb Ila said in the name of Reb Shmuel bar Nachman, a third opinion, afilu sima, even when it says in the pasuk, set in place, it has to be put in some place, which is actually referring to all of them, the Orin, the Mizbeach, the Pareches, and all the other Kelim, then it's ma'akev. So Reb Shmuel bar Nachman can hold of the opinion of Reb Meir, who says that Shulchan Menorah, Mizbeiches, and Pareches are ma'akev, but none of them hold of the Chachomim who says that only the Mizbeach is Ma'akev. And how can you have Amiroim arguing with the Tanoim? Answers the Gemara, Omer of Chinino, Kan ba'avoidois shebifnim, Kan ba'avoidois shebuchutz. Those avoidois, the part of the avoid in the Beis Hamikdosh that was done outside the Heichal, that was done in the Azora, that is when there's a machlokes between Reb Meir and the Chachomim. Reb Meir says the Shulchan Menorah, Mizbeiches, and Pareches are Ma'akev, and the Chachomim say only the Mizbeach is Ma'akev. However, the Avoidus Shebefnim, those Avoidus that were done inside the Heichal, there, it's nothing to do with those Tanoim. That is what these Amiroim are arguing of, is it just the Menorah which is Ma'akev? Is it the Menorah and the Shulchan? Or is it the Menorah, the Shulchan, and all the other Kelim? Continues the Gemara, Omer of Chanina. Shachtzis gedoyla, some haughtiness and a bad trait of shachtzonus, a certain haughtiness, hoisob ivnei kohenim gedoylim, was rampant amongst the kohen gadols. Sheyosa mishishim kikrei zov, more than 60 kikar of gold, hoyumotzin, they would be their expenses, they would give out, hoyumotzin bo shehoyo kivsho shel para oimid, that even though the ramp of that was going to be used for the Parah Aduma, the special ramp that was built on these supports that would make sure that at every given point there was an air gap of Tefach underneath it, that even though it was still Oymed from the previous Parah Aduma that was done by a previous Kohen Gadol, and nonetheless none of the Kohen Gadols would use the ramp of the previous Kohen Gadol, El Asoisrei would demolish it, and he would build this ramp from his own money. And that's very much, very haughty and a proud thing to do. Why can't you use the ramp that was made by a previous Kohen Gadol? Heisiv Rav Ulla Kumar Rav Munna. Rav Ulla asked Rav Munna, and he says, I agree with you that each Kohen Gadol, he built his own ramp, but I don't think it was coming from a negative place. Why? How do I know? V'otoni, we learned explicitly that Shimon HaTzadik, Shtei Poris Osa, in the time of Shimon HaTzadik, there were many people that were Tmei. Meisim was a time of war. Many people had come into contact with corpses, and then he had to make two Por Adumos. And Loi Bekevesh Shehoitzi Ezeh, he himself demolished the ramp that he himself made for the first Por Aduma in order to make a new ramp for the second Por Aduma. Isloch Lememer, is it possible to say Shimon HaTzadik Shachatz, that Shimon HaTzadik had these bad traits? And number one, as a person, it didn't make sense that he had these bad traits. And number two, it didn't even make sense because it was his own ramp that he was demolishing. So indeed, why did all the Kohen Gadols destroy and demolish the previous ramps and build new ones? Says the Gemara, Al Shem Mailo Hibaporo, Silsol Hibaporo, discussed in other places in Shas, but they had reason to make a very big fuss about the high standards of Kedusha and Tara that was needed when doing the Por Aduma, and the honor they gave the Por Aduma, and that was to combat the heretic opinions of the Tzidukim. And it's a complicated sugya which we don't need to go into here, but that's why they went out of their way to make a very big fuss and to show, to go to the nth degree with pointing out and expressing the details of Tara, that when they would make this ramp, which was just one of these chumras, in order to Mailov Parah and Silsulov Parah, therefore they would every time create a new ramp, making the statement again. Continues the Gemara. Another example of the degree they went to make sure that there would be absolute Kedusha and Tara when making this the ramp or the Por Aduma. Tony, we learned that Zizin Uksolim, on this ramp there were beams protruding and walls on the sides, Hoyoitzin Mikan or Mikan, that would be on either side of this ramp. If the Kohanim were going to suddenly get distracted by something beyond the ramp, and they're going to put their heads, they're going to lean over off the end of the ramp, they may be hovering over a place that's deep down in the ground, in the rock, the corpse is buried, and then they would become Tomei. To avoid that, they would even make walls on the edge of this ramp to make sure that they could not hover over the edges. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Akiva Oimer Ein Mistakrim. We saw in the Mishnah that there was a question what they should do with the Moiser Shiori Alishka. What to do with the remaining coins in this chamber after they'd used whatever they could for the Tzibur? And Rabbi Akiva said they would invest it in the wine, the oils, the flour, and sell it. And the prophets, Rabbi Shmuel said they would do that, and the prophets would go to Hegdush. Rabbi Akiva said, "Ein mistakrim b'shel Hegdush." You should not invest money belonging to Hegdush or belonging to poor people. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva Omer, "Ein mistakrim chulu." However, what was the reason that they should not invest the money of Hegdush? Is because you might make a loss. You might sell it for less, the price might go down, and then you'll have lost for Hegdush. Elohim Rotzo, yeah, ha'efset shaloi. If somebody says, I'm happy to invest Hegdush's money, but on condition that if it incurs a loss, it's on me. If there's a gain, then the gain will go, or part of the gains will go to Hekdesh, then it's okay. Imrotzo yeh hefset shaloi vaschar lehekdesh, if he's committed to take the losses on himself, in that way, in any case, Hekdesh will not lose, it'll only gain, then it's a mutter, then it's okay. Kahador barazimna, like this person called barazimna, that itpikid, it was deposited, they deposited by him, gabei, by him, midal diyasoymin, money that was collected for orphans. Also, v'shoal l'Rebbe Mona, and they asked, and he went and asked Rav Mona, can he invest that money on behalf of the orphans? Omale said, in bois, if you are prepared, di ha'hefseido didoch, that the losses will be on you, v'agro de tarvaichun, and the gains will be shared between you and the orphans, shori, in that case it's muta. Says the Gemara, Rav Chiya bar Ada, is paked gabe midal diyaseimin, he also, they deposited by him money that was collected for the orphans. V'ovid Cain, he did this, he invested it, but he agreed to take the losses on himself. Continues the Gemara. Moisar Peiris. We saw towards the end of the Mishnah that there was a concept called Moisar HaPeiris and a concept called Moisar Nesochim. And we said that Moisar Peiris, there was, Rabbi Shmuel said they would use it for the kites of the Mizbeach. And Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Chanina Skana Keanim ignored it, which means they didn't hold of this concept called Moisar HaPeiris. Regarding Moisar Nesochim, we saw Rabbi Akiva said they would use it for Kli Shoreis, Rabbi Chanina Skana Keanim said they would use it for Kaitz HaMizbeach, for the Oilois when the Mizbeach was empty. And we don't yet know what is Moisar HaPeiris, what is Moisar Nesochim, says the Gemara. Moisar HaPeiris, Masnisin de Rabbi Shmuel hi. This Moisar Peiris is, who was the only one that Gay told us what to do with Moisar Peiris? Rabbi Shmuel. He said it's Kayet HaMizbeach. But if you want to understand it, look earlier on in the Mishnah and have a look. What does Rabbi Shmuel say? So going back to the Moisar Shiori Alishka, what do you do with the remaining coins in the chamber that were not used and didn't need to be used for the Tzibur? So we saw there Rabbi Shmuel said, invest it in wine, oils and flour, make some money, and the profits will go to Hekdesh. So says the Gemara, the Reb Chiya bar Yosef Posar Masnita, it was Reb Chiya bar Yosef who explained the Mishnah, who says here that Moisar HaPeiris, Rabbi Shmuel says, goes for the Kayet HaMizbeach. What is Moisar HaPeiris? It's Schar LeHekdesh. It is that Schar, Rabbi Shmuel himself. He was the one that said that you can invest the Moisar Shiori Alishka, those profits that were made, that is called the Moisar HaPeiris. What do you do with those profits? Rabbi Shmuel said, Kayet HaMizbeach. Moisar Nesochim, what does Reb Chiya say? What is Moisar Nesochim, which we saw as a machlekes of Akiva and Reb Chanina Skana Keanim, what to do with it? But what is the concept of Moisar Nesochim? Says Reb Chiya, it's Zu Sa Revius. If a person committed himself to bring, to give a seller's worth of fruit, of food, to the Beis HaMikdosh, and when he made that commitment, a seller could buy 4 sa, which is a volume of produce, of fruits, vegetables, whatever it may be, the seller could buy 4 sa. When he actually came to the Beis HaMikdosh, he brought his seller. At that point, a seller could only buy 3 sa, which means that a seller had actually gone, that the fruits had actually gone up in value, and now each sa is not a quarter of a seller, it's a third of a seller. He said, I'm coming with a seller, that's why I committed myself, and the Hekdesh will only get 3 sa. The loch is no. You have to give the 4th sa, because when you committed yourself to a seller, it was 4 sa. This 4th sa is called Moisar Nesochim, according to Reb Chiya. Moisar Nesochim, Zu sa Revius, is this 4th sa. What do you do with it? So we saw, it's Machlekes in the Mishnah. Reb Akiva says you buy Klei Sharos with it, and Reb Chanina Skana Keanim says it's for Kayetz HaMizbeach. That was Reb Chiya. So Reb Chiya says that Moisar HaPeiris is only Rabbi Shmuel himself referring to those profits that Rabbi Shmuel said that you could invest the Moisar Shiori Alishka, and the Moisar Nesochim is this 4th sa. Rabbi Yochanan Posar Masnita, Rabbi Yochanan has a different explanation. He says Moisar HaPeiris, you know what Moisar HaPeiris is? Zul Sa Revius. That is this 4th sa. It's actually called not Moisar, it's not called Moisar Nesochim, which was a machlokes according to Rabbi Akiva, you buy Klei Shoros with it, and according to Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKohanim, it's Kaitza Mizbech. No. This fourth saw is actually Moisar Peiros, which Rabbi Shmuel in the Mishnah said, what do you do with it? Kaitza Mizbech. And Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKohanim, they ignored this whole Moisar Peiros, and the Mishnah actually said that Zeh Vazeh Loi Hayu Moedim BaPeiros. They didn't agree with it. We're going to have an issue with that. What's there not to agree with? According to Rabbi Chia, we understand that Moisar HaPeiros is the profits that only Rabbi Shmuel himself allowed you to invest the Moisar Shiore Alishka. Rabbi Akiva said to Rabbi Shmuel, you're not allowed to invest the money of Hekdash. So it makes sense. Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKohanim, didn't hold of Moisar HaPeiros. But now, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that Moisar Shiore, the Moisar HaPeiros is the Sar of Yis, then why is Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKohanim not holding? What's there not to hold of that? Okay, we'll get to that soon. But Rabbi Yochanan, he was the one that said that Moisar HaPeiros is the Sar of Yis. What's the Moisar Nesochim? Is Lebirutzin. Is when they would buy, when they would dedicate and bring things to Hegdash, if they promised to bring a certain measure, they would bring it heaped high. This extra heaped high is called birutzin. It was extra because the letter of the law says a flat share. If you said you're going to bring a certain measure, a flat measure, that's what you committed yourself. But the halacha is that you have to bring it piled high. This extra bit that Hegdash would gain, that's called Moisar Nesochim, according to Rabbi Yochanan. That was a machlekas. What would Hegdash do with it? Rabbi Akiva says they would use it to buy Klei Shoros, and Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKohanim said you would use it for the Kaitz HaMizbech. Asks the Gemara, Velesli Rabbi Chia Bar Yosef Lebirutzim. Rabbi Chia said that Moisar HaPeiros is the prophets of the Moisar Shiora Lishka. Moisar Nesochim is the fourth saw. Well, what's Rabbi Chia doing with this Birutzim? He also agrees that you give extra for the Hegdash. What's he doing with it? Rabbi Chizki says, Ma de nofa lesor of yis, nofa lebirutzim. You're right. The Rabbi Chia holds that the same halacha that applies to sor of yis, namely that it has the status of Moisar Nesochim, the same applies to these Birutzim. That's also considered Moisar Nesochim, and they're also, according to Rabbi Akiva, that means there's no machlek, because he agrees with Rabbi Yochanan on that point. Both agree that the Birutzim is considered Moisar Nesochim. Continues the Gemara. Al-Daita de Rabbi Chia Bar Yosef, Nicha. According to Rabbi Chia Bar Yosef, we can understand that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKohanim didn't hold of Moisar HaPeiros, because they say, Ein mistakrim b'shel hegdash, af loy b'shel aniyim. It says explicitly in the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva said to Rabbi Shmuel, you're not allowed to invest the money of hegdash. So Rabbi Shmuel says you can invest it and the profits are called Moisar HaPeiros. Rabbi Akiva says, I don't agree with it. You're not allowed to do it. Lefikoch zeh vazeh loy hayu moedim b'peiros. Both didn't agree. However, al-daiti to Rabbi Yochanan, but Rabbi Yochanan who said that Moisar HaPeiros was this fourth saw, kashya. Everybody agrees that if you commit yourself to a seller, and when you committed yourself, then this seller was what could buy 4 saw. When you actually came to the Beis Hamikdash to bring the seller, it could only buy 3 saw. Everybody agrees. There's no discussion. Everyone agrees you have to bring that 4th saw. Well, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that 4th saw is called Moisar HaPeiros. Why is Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKohanim not agreeing with that? V'ataninon, we learned explicitly that Omdu Megimel, that if a seller now can only buy 3 saw, yisapek midalit. You have to actually give the 4th saw. V'taninon, and nonetheless we learnt in the Mishnah, zeh v'zeh, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKohanim, lo yhoyu moedim b'peiros. They didn't agree to the concept of Moisar HaPeiros. What's there not to agree? They agree you have to bring the 4th saw. So why don't, what are you arguing with Rabbi Shmuel? Rabbi Shmuel, according to Rabbi Yochanan's understanding, Rabbi Shmuel says that the 4th saw is used for the Kaitz HaMizbech. You, Rabbi Akiva, you don't agree with it. Well, you agree that he has to bring the 4th saw. What's he going to do with it? According to Rabbi Chia, it's called Moisar Nesochim. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it's not called Moisar Nesochim. Rabbi Yochanan says explicitly that Saravius is called Moisar HaPeris. So why is it only Rabbi Shmuel? Why is Rabbi Akiva not agreeing with it? Answers the Gemara that, of course, they agreed with it. But when it says in the Mishnah they didn't agree, to Rabbi Shmuel, to what Rabbi Shmuel did with it. They argued with Rabbi Shmuel. You, Rabbi Shmuel, said that Moisar HaPeris, which is this Saravius according to Rabbi Yochanan, is going to be used for Kayat HaMizbeach. We both don't agree with it. But we both, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Chanina Skanakenim, agree that Klei Shoris, you use this Saravius to buy Klei Shoris. Says the Gemara, Ad Kedoin, so far we know that Birutze Tzibur, we take it for granted that when Rabbi Chia and Rabbi Yochanan both explained that Moisa Nesachim include, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's only this Birutzim, this extra heaped of whatever was donated to the Beis HaMikdash. According to Rabbi Chia, it was also Saravius, also Birutzim, but both agree that Birutzim is considered Moisar Nesachim. And what did Rabbi Akiva do with it? They would buy Klei Shoris. Now we take for granted that when they spoke about Birutzim, it was also of the Tzibur, when something was donated to the Tzibur, and also when it was something which was donated by the Yochid. The question is, V'loi nimtu Klei Shoris boin Mishel Yochid? But we have an issue. If somebody is going to come and give a private donation to the Beis HaMikdash, it's going to have Birutzi, then this extra bit is a private donation. And what are they going to do with it? Says Rabbi Akiva, Moisa Nesachim is used for Klei Shoris. But we already said previously, Klei Shoris have to be bought only and exclusively from the Tzibur. So how are you going to, how can you use Birutzim of a Yochid to buy Klei Shoris? Says the Gemara, no. You remember what we learned previously? We already learned Kadoda Taninon, Isha She'osok Soines Libno, this mother who made the big day kuna for her son, even though it's a private donation, it's kshera, it's kosher, ubilvat she'timsureno le'tzibur. We rely on her that she's going to give it over entirely to the tzibur. So too here, the birutze of the yachid will be entirely given over for the use of the tzibur, and therefore they could buy klei shoris with it. Says the Gemara, Ad Kedoin, so far we know that Birutze Lach, that when donating liquids, then we understand that the heap, the extra piled over of the liquids, which are actually going to spill over, that we understand that is Kodesh, and we assume that when it says in the Mishnah, according to Rabbi Akiva, you use it for Klei Shoris, according to Chanina Skanakenim, for Kayat HaMizbeach, we take it for granted it's talking about the liquids that were heaped over. But what is the same halacha going to apply with solids, that when you fill up a kli, a utensil with solids, then what was heaped doesn't first go into the kli and then come out? Going into a kli shoris makes it kodesh, and therefore even what's left over is kodesh. When it comes to solids, what's heaped on top never went into the kli, so it's choil. What do we say there? Do we say there also that what's heaped over is called Moisar Nesachim and was used either for Klei Shoris or for Kayat HaMizbeach? Kahi de Taninon Tamon, and I'm going to read this with the Vilna Gaon's Girsa, that explicitly in a Tesefta it says, the Birutze Lach Kodesh, the heap of the liquids which actually goes into the Kli and then spills out over the Kli is Kodesh. Birutze Yovish Chulin. However, it's the heap of a solid is not kodesh. V'lomo birutzei lach kodesh. Why is the heaping of the extra of the liquids, why is it kodesh? Mipnei shemidas halach nimshomi bifnim, because it went into the kli shoris and then came out. Since it's been inside the kli, it becomes kodesh. Lomo birutzei lach chil. Why is the in these birutzei, this extra heap on top of the kli? Why, if it's solid, is it chil and not kodesh? Mipnei shemidas hayavish lo nimsha. Bein mibifnim, bein mibachutz. However, says the Tesefta, kol birutzei midis halolu, but irrespective of whether it's lach or if it's yavish, im yesh zevach echod yakrivu imoy, zevach acher, if you've got another korban that you can actually use this extra for that korban, then yakrivu imoy, v'im lonu, and if they waited overnight, and we know that anything that was niskadish b'klei shoros is nifsal belina, if it waits overnight, it's possible. Nifsal belina. Ve'im lav, and if it didn't wait overnight, yimkuru, you should sell it l'kayit ha-mizbeach. This is the pin of Rabbi Chanina Skanakenim that we saw in the Mishnah, that this moisar nesachim, which is this birutzin, is used for the Kayetz HaMizbeach. So you see here that even the solid, even though it's choil, it's used for Kayetz HaMizbeach. And that's the end of this Mishnah. Im Yirtzeh Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue the next Mishnah.